certain men have crept in unnoticed. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 377. It is January 22, 2016. And it is good to be back at the microphone today. I do miss it when I'm not with you. We're traveling through another book starting today, totally different from the Book of Sermons by Charles Spurgeon for sure. It's called The Kingdom of the Cults. It's a good book. I really, really hope that you will get a copy. Perhaps many of you already do. Written originally by Walter Martin and now edited and kind of revised here and there, modernized, but not changed in anything, by Ravi Zacharias, a name you may have heard before. I strongly suggest that you get a hold of this book. I'm way at the back of the book, actually. In fact, it's after the main course, as it were. It's called Appendix A. And so you would think that what I'm going to be talking about is not as critical as some of the other cults that he mentions. And this is a book about cults. Let me give you the table of contents here so you be sure you get this book. I hope you will be sure. Talking about Spiritism, the Mormons, Christian Science, Jehovah Witnesses, Theosophy, Gnosticism really, Buddhism, the Baha'i Faith, Unitarian Universalism, Scientology, the Unification Church, the Eastern Religions, New Age Cult, Islam, cults that they'll find on the world mission field. And then at the end of the book, he puts some things that are semi-problems, and I'll show you why it's semi in a minute. But the first one is this one that I want to talk about today that we call Armstrongism. Actually, and then they talk about Seventh-day Adventism, Swedenborgianism, Rosicrucianism, not as necessarily cults, but as things that have been labeled that and the reasoning behind it. But this first one, his appendix says the Worldwide Church of God from cult to Christianity. What? Now, when we're talking about pure Armstrongism, that hasn't changed. And that's what we really want to talk about. But there's an incredibly fascinating story about these folks that you need to know. Armstrongism, the pure Armstrongism, just as a quick outline here. By the way, I can't quote from the book for copyright reasons, but I want to give you just a general sense of it. And again, hope that you will rush out and get a copy of this or get it online by just Googling Kingdom of the Cults. But Armstrongism teaches that the Bible is God's Word, but the only way you'll really get a hold of this Bible is if you listen to Herbert W. Armstrong's interpretation of it. And they believe in two gods, Jesus and the Father, two gods, but you put the two gods together and you got a God family, is what he called it. As far as the resurrection, no, that didn't happen in bodily form, but it did happen spiritually. Salvation is a result of good works and what Jesus did on the cross. And then one day we'll become a god also. So those are pretty serious heresies. Let's call them what they are. Certain men have indeed crept in unnoticed. And I want to tell you a little of that story. But before we get into Armstrong himself and what he taught, it's the group. It's very rare, as the book points out, very rare that you're going to see a cult that turns back to Christianity. Started in Christianity, Armstrong did, and then he branched out, and now he is gone, but the church has gone back to Christ. The successor, who lived from 1927 to 1995, was Joseph Koch. I'm sorry if I don't pronounce it right. It's T-K-A-C-H, Catch Koch, sorry. But so many of the heresies that Armstrong had come up with, this guy, and connected with the church and the true body of Christ, just annihilated it all and came back to the Christian faith. The whole thing about the Trinity, Christ's divinity, the Holy Spirit's person, the bodily resurrection, salvation. This whole thing is about British Israelism. It's all gone. Legalism is gone as a test for fellowship. Wow. Just changed it all. And so when you're talking about Armstrongism, what you're going to see in the world is you'll see the Worldwide Church of God. Now, that used to be a bad name as far as, you know, that was Armstrong's church. They called it the Worldwide Church of God. Well, I'll tell you what, Church of God can mean just about anything today. Be very careful when you see Church of God. Some of it's very, very great, great stuff, and some of it just isn't. Be sure you investigate the Church of God, even the one that you're a part of, to be sure it's not one of these splinter groups from Armstrong. But Armstrong himself starts the Worldwide Church of God. And then, as I said, his successor brought the Worldwide Church of God back into the fold of Christianity. So now when you see that name on a church, don't panic. It's a good group. And the Plain Truth magazine, which used to be filled with heresy, although there was some good stuff even then, now there's no heresy in it. You can get a Plain Truth magazine and feel comfortable about it. But the lies that Armstrong began didn't go away. They're still out there, and in up anywhere from 100 to, I've even heard, 300 different groups that are out there, and they're all saying they're the true church, you know. We have been a divisive people, haven't we? We, even in the Protestant movement also, we don't like something, so we go start a different church. Who told you to do that? Did Jesus really lead you to start all over again, or just to be faithful right where you are, so the people around you in your group? Now, sometimes you get kicked out. I know. I do know that one. But anyway, I want to go to, let me see, what do I want to go to here? The Worldwide Church of God has a remnant of 300 pastors now. The group that is still now following Jesus, I should say. And they preach an uncompromised gospel. They're telling the truth about Jesus. You must be born again. I remember hearing Garner Ted Armstrong, the son of Herbert W., laughing at the whole idea of being born again. And saying, letting us know that you don't get born again, he said, until you die. That's the heretical line. And you'll still find that out there, but not in the Worldwide Church of God. Okay, what else do I want to do with this? Yeah. Now let's talk about Herbert W. Armstrong. Just skimming through the things that are in the book, and hoping that you will, as I said, go get the book yourself. Born July 31st, 1892 in Iowa. Raised in a Christian home. And kind of a Quaker background. Both my father and mother were solid Quaker stock, it says. Anything that's quoted by him, I will go ahead and quote, since I could find that anywhere. But also claimed to be a descendant of King David. I mean, he starts going off fairly early. He found that there was some connection to him, with him to Britain, and then he began his British Israelism, and suddenly he was a descendant of King David. He was, not only that, he was started to call himself an apostle. Look out for that word. My goodness, how many people are calling themselves apostles today? Well, he did too. In fact, he called himself the second Elijah. So he's not only an apostle, he's a prophet. You better follow him. That's the deal. That's why people want to wear this term, apostle. It puts them in authority, and you better listen to them. Well, his wife came up with the idea that obedience to God's spiritual laws, summed up in the Ten Commandments, was necessary for salvation. And he fought that for a long time, but then eventually succumbed to the idea himself. And that was the beginning of the end of anything decent in his teachings. Very zealous guy, though. Tireless zeal, as most heretics are. Starting from scratch. Great salesman. He was just able to get his point across and cause other people to believe in him. There was a connection between him and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Not really, but the teachings that came out of there, whether he knew it or not, they were influencing him. He was actually even a physical connection to the Church of God Seventh Day. There is a Church of God that's called Church of God Seventh Day. Watch out. If you're not into that, his church is a divergent sect of non-Trinitarian Adventism. Now, I've talked about Sabbath on here and Seventh Day, and I've left the question as open as I can. And that is not one of the heretical parts of him, but that was, we're trying to determine where he got his framework. Because when you go into Seventh Day, sometimes you also go into legalism. He had already gotten into legalism and was getting fed by groups here and there that were in the same mindset as him. So it's not what you do, it's why you do what you do sometime. He became an Arian, let's be honest. The Arians, Arius was a heretic of the early church that was condemned roundly for his views about Jesus and who Jesus was, that he wasn't God. And Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, are the typical Arians of our day. But he also was an Arian in that he was anti-Trinitarian. You understand what I'm saying. He didn't believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit as three persons in one. He tried to divide Father and Son altogether, even though Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." And in Herbert's church, that wasn't true. They were alike each other. They were both gods, according to him. They were in this God family. Yeah. Then the whole British Israelism thing. Oh, my. I don't want to go too deep into that. The basic premise, and read just a little bit here, is that 10 tribes were lost. The 10 tribes of Israel were lost somewhere in the world. And Jews were captured, you know, by the Assyrians under King Sargon, and then they kind of scattered from there. They went to different places of the world, wound up in England, and brought the throne with them. You've heard of the stone, the special stone that's over there, the stone of Scone, isn't it? And British Israelites believe that that's actually the throne of David that the kings of England sit upon. Kind of far-fetched, I know. Relative to the relationship of Israel to Judah in Scripture, they say that Judah is not even a part of the whole promises of God. We're all only talking about those 10 tribes. Judah is still under a curse. It's just all messed up. And he separates Judah from Israel. And I realized that in the kingdom phase of their existence, they were separated. But when they came back together, they weren't. And when in the future, they won't be. They're going to be one. In a sense, they are already. Come on. He just goes so far. He says, "We want to impress here that Israel and Judah are not two names for the same nation. They were and still are and shall be until the second coming of Christ, two separate nations. The house of Judah always means Jew." No, not true. It's just wrong. And I don't need to tell you about that. He now reveals the astonishing fact, I'm quoting from the plain truth, that Elizabeth II actually sits on the throne of King David of Israel. I've already been there. I won't go there right now. There's a biblical answer to British Israelism. I don't think that the group that I'm talking to right now needs to hear this, except that no first-hand account exists that traces the lost 10 tribes in northwestern Europe. No eyewitnesses to European tribal migrations ever claimed an Israelite origin for any of them. No medieval or ancient genealogies ever linked the race of the British Isles with the Israelites. It's not until the 19th century did anyone even attempt to prove such an idea, not to be worried about. There's other biblical explanations why this just doesn't work. But I'm going to let those go, and hopefully, you will get the book and read it for yourself, or there's other Christian works about British Israelism, I suggest that you just, it's just a waste of time. It's really a waste of your time to go deep into that. But if you need to satisfy yourself, look at it. Look at Christian explanations for it. Look at the Bible verses. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land that I gave their forefathers. That's from your Old Testament. And God has already promised that they are one in His mind. Well, that's all we will do today. I think next time we may have time. I don't know if we're going to have time. But within a day or two, we'll conclude the theology of the Worldwide Church of God to show you how heretical it really was and is in the splinter groups. I'm sorry, the Worldwide Church of God itself today is not heretical at all, has returned to Christ. But folks, watch out. Watch out. It's all over, this deception. And God has His people out there, and they won't be deceived. But they'll be tempted to. You know, there'll be an Antichrist that will come that might deceive the very elect. If it were possible, we believe it's not ultimately possible. But that doesn't mean there couldn't be some backing off and some scary times when you really start going a different direction. God will preserve you, but I suggest you not mess with it at all. And just stay true to God's Word. Keep your nose in the Bible, in God's Word. And people who are trying to point you to something else besides the Bible, stay away from them. Or telling you that the only interpretation is their teacher's interpretation, that's heresy. We have a much bigger and better church than that, and a better Lord who will lead us and guide us into all truth. Well, the book is The Kingdom of the Cults, Walter Martin, updated by Ravi Zacharias. Excellent book. Totally recommend it. Tomorrow is Saturday. Got to take another break already. Saturday is our day. I just like to kick back. And Sunday, we're going back to the These Are the Generations book that we started last Sunday. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next in that book myself. It's a wonderful book because it's a wonderful author and a wonderful story and updates us. I've read through it and know about it, but I don't have every detail of it, so I'm waiting on that with you. These Are the Generations. That's Sunday with Eric Foley. Then we'll get back to Armstrongism Monday and Tuesday. And then the book of Jude, we start a commentary to kind of follow up on heresy and heretics. So that you'll be, when you read through the book of Jude with me, you'll want to stay away from them. You'll want to guard the faith of Jesus Christ with everything that you have from that day on. Stay away from the heretics. Well, God bless you today. And don't forget where we started. Jude, chapter 1, the only chapter, verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed.